All right, here we are in Terre Haute with Mayor Duke Bennett. Always appreciate you allowing us to have a little bit of your time on the second week of September.
Yeah, already. I know. This whole year's going fast.
Yeah. I just wanted to touch a little bit on some of the nationwide stuff that's going on right now. We were talking before we rolled the camera about the events down in Florida and, of course, in Houston and Texas and, I mean, everywhere down there. What goes through your mind when you see all that?
Well, you know, especially when I hear a mayor speak, you know, you're watching the news and they'll talk to some leading city official who is trying to keep everybody calm, but yet you know that things are kind of falling apart all around you. And so all you can do is be as prepared as possible. Then you just have to kind of react to whatever happens. And I really feel for those folks because, you know, some areas thought they were going to get hit harder and they were fortunate to not. Other areas thought, you know, it's just going to be something different. So you gear up for something and then it's either worse or not as bad as you thought. And then you say, okay, how can I get my community put back together so I can go help somebody else? And that's what's really neat about just anybody in public service. They just want to help. And so I feel for those folks down there. That's been two brutal storms without any question. And I'm sure it's going to be months and months before they even have some normalcy to their lives. And that's just what's unfortunate.
And, it, you know, the impact felt everywhere, families, friends seeking safety, some coming to Indiana, but then local people also heading down to help as well.
Yeah, the local Air National Guard, our 181st Intelligence Wing, the governor called out several Indiana guardsmen, and there's a group here of communications experts. They can take mobile communications equipment and set it up, and so they can establish, you know, phone lines and internet and those kind of things to support the recovery efforts. And, you know, it's just kind of another really great thing, one, that we have those folks right here in Terre Haute, but they're Indiana's willing to step up and go help those people down in Florida. Is just, you know, it's just really a positive thing. It's great to see that country come together for both of those states to help them out.
And then Monday, the 16th anniversary of 9/11, you have some thoughts on how remembering that day kind of impacts you, yourself?
Yeah, I remember exactly where I was sitting in my office when I worked at Hamilton Center and somebody walked in and told me they just heard that on the news. And it was shocking. It definitely had a lasting impression on me. And then last night when I got home, I started watching some of those different shows, the news-related shows that, you know, took us back in time to listen to some of those transmissions, the fire and police department who were on the scene and the airplanes as they were lost communications with the control towers. And boy, it just hits home again about how it's been a long time ago now. The time has really passed quickly, yet we've got to be on guard yet today. And so we can't forget about those, you know, first responders and all those people that died in those particular, that day and those tragic situations, but just, you know, being mindful of what might happen tomorrow and how our police and fire and EMS and everybody else and military are right there on the front lines and they're going to be right in the thick of a battle if something like that would happen again. Hopefully not, but it's just really sad to kind of reminisce that because it did bring back some memories of the shock. It was really what hit a lot of us at that time, and especially me personally.
I wanted to bring up this news event. This was brought up a couple weeks ago, but we haven't had a chance to talk about it. ISU officials want to move ahead with the Holman Center renovation. Building rather old, I believe built in 1973, needs some updates, but they're hoping for some local funding to really turn it into something much bigger, but going to have to wait on that for now, right?
Well, we had the local funding in place. ISU decided to move on ahead without us. And we didn't even get a heads up on that. And so they were afraid they were going to lose the money from the state. And I don't know if that's, I don't believe that that's the case. That's not what I'm hearing from Indianapolis, but we were surprised by that. So our $25 million commitment is still on the table. We are looking at ways to still move this project forward. But right now we're just kind of in a maze, in a situation of trying to assess that and determine, you know, what's the best approach to this. You know, we were just amazed that they decided to go on and go after that money just for the Holman Center component and not include the convention space that we wanted to add to it. And so, and mainly as we're told that, you know, they were afraid they were gonna lose that money. So I still think there's time to work this out. What form it'll take, I don't know yet. How the partners will, you know, work together, I don't know yet, but we want to do what's right for the citizens of this community, and we believe, and we've got $25 million on the table, then we believe we need convention space. And so we're going to continue to pursue that idea.
Yeah, when you said there's $25 million on the table, where is that? Is that a pot from county, city?
It's 10 from the city, 10 from the county, and 5 from the Convention and Visitors Bureau. And so we'd all made that commitment. That commitment never changed. You know, ISU had asked us to kick a little bit more in, and we all agreed that we weren't going to do that. We were going to figure out that little funding gap another way. And then they decided to move ahead with their portion with the $37 million coming from the state. So there's still more work to be done here. It's not dead. It's just we got to figure out how best to approach this so we all get the end result is good for everyone.
And I know this is something still in the works, but are they concerned about having it turn into a convention center?
No, I don't think that's it. I think it's just a financial issue from their perspective, and just thinking that because the county's dealing with the jail, the city's dealing with a police station, some other things, but we've got it already built into the budget, so that's not a concern by either one of us.
How often is the Hallman Center used for civic-type events?
Oh, it's used pretty regularly. It's mostly the bigger events, so it's the people that have large dinners, you know, where you need 900 or so people sitting on the floor for a dinner. You know, there's a variety of things from Special Olympics to, in the past, the Shrine Circus has been there, a variety of acts, especially country music has been a very popular thing there. Just so there's a wide variety of things that happen throughout the year, but we believe that even more could happen with remodeled space. You know, it is an old facility. The acoustics, the lighting, the heating, cooling, all those things need to be updated, which would make it much more, it needs to be more flexible for the different kinds of events, but it also needs to be a great experience for people to come, and whether it's a concert or a ball game or whatever. So we believe it has a lot of potential.
Right, and of course, like you said before, we talked about this a couple months ago, we draw more people into the city,
exactly,
more convention, drive the economy.
All of that. We really can't handle any conventions here. We talked about that. We don't have any space in Terre Haute, and so we need space to have breakout rooms and those kind of things. We're not trying to compete with Indianapolis. We just want to be able to, those smaller and mid-sized conferences that would love to come to Terre Haute, there's no space for them here, so we need to create that space.
So still a couple months to finalize the budget, despite the fact the state wants the city to pay off the $8 million deficit. What progress have you made since we talked last month?
Well, we've made tremendous progress. Last week we rolled out our plan. The council was very responsive to that. So I think we're good to go. We'll get that figured out as we kind of move forward over the next few weeks to nail that down to the penny. But we will do a combination of an extension of a loan and moving some expenses from the general fund to other related areas in the budget that have healthy cash balances. And so we're going to make some tremendous progress against that by the end of the year.
Do you have any numbers in mind for that in terms of, because right now you're at that $8
million? Well, the $8 million is our deficit we carry into the year. Because of the way the things work out on paper, they're saying, well, you need to take care of the deficit. We'll officially take care about half of the deficit, and then the loan will take care of the other half, and then next year we'll be able to deal with that remaining half. But when we end the year, we'll have a positive balance in the general fund so that from a State Board of Accounts perspective, we've solved it, but we know that permanently we have a $4 million more to go, which we should be able to nail most of that next year. So we're getting there very, very quickly.
So it sounds like it's part of a 3-year plan?
Well, it may carry over into part of 19. We will see.
Yeah.
Depends on any new local option income taxes that come into play. That'll determine the time frame to the month.
Have you had a chance to talk to the state, and does that fulfill their expectations?
Yes, absolutely. Nope, they came in and met with us, and we're good to go. We rolled that plan out to them, and they said, yes, this will take care of all the issues.
I know you're hoping for that. I believe it's some type of local safety income tax that the county would impose for a new jail. Any indication on new revenue?
Well, all we know is what the commissioners proposed to the county council. There's been several public meetings. There's another meeting coming up on the 18th of this month, where we all hope, I believe they hope to vote on it that night. And so very soon here, we'll find out if there's gonna be any impact to us or not. You know, it's just important that they move on. So I think that's a critical step to kind of get this jail addressed and begin that formal process of getting it built. And so I think this is a real key month for all of us.
There was some talk at that special council meeting about other ways to generate income, a wheel tax for road funding. There was something about a fire territory, which I'm not familiar with. Are any of those possible right now?
Not likely, no, and I'm not pursuing any of them. You know, Unbond Associates did their job. They came in and told us, here's what you can do to raise new revenue to finish this out, to get you where you need to be. Because we want to build our reserves up, eliminate the deficit, build our reserves. And so in order to do that, you've got to have some new income to do it in a relatively short period of time. Those other options are just not real attractive to me. They're not appealing in a way that I want to pursue any of them. If there is no public safety loan, then we may have to kind of look at some things, but definitely not the wheel tax. So that's one that wouldn't be interested in creating a new one just for the city of Terre Haute when we're already paying one to the county.
And while the county is looking to trim their budget as well, Vigo County Schools say they need their facilities upgraded. As a city leader, when all of these different entities kind of come at you, how do you start to prioritize these funds and where they need to go?
Well, that's the hardest thing because, you know, the school corporation has their goals and their vision and their funding sources, county, city, we all do. And we all have to live within our means, no question about it. But when these tax caps came in, we have all lost a significant amount of money. And, you know, you're talking over $30 million this year alone that the taxpayers of Vigo County are saving in their pockets of what they would have paid if there weren't tax caps in place. Just one year, $30 million that used to go to the city and the county and the rural fire departments, the library, the airport. And so we get it. That's permanent. We all voted it in. You know what I mean? And so we're living with that. But the problem is you have to have some new revenue because expenses don't go down every year. People still expect a high level of service. And so you have to be able to pay for that. You have to invest in yourself from an infrastructure perspective. We've got to build roads. We've got to build overpasses like 19th and Margaret. We've got to take care of our parks. We've got to have to build a police station. These are things you just can't say, well, we're not going to do it because we don't have any money. And so I don't want to raise taxes or fees either. But that's the solution all across the state is to have a local option income tax. Either implement one or increase it because that's what the legislature tells you you need to do locally. That's why they created it, to take the place of and fulfill the loss of funds through property tax dollars. And so, okay, so we're shifting, you know, that dependence on property taxes to income taxes is really where it's headed.
Two meetings this week, city council and county council. Anything on the agenda that you're looking for?
No, our city council meeting this week, our Unbond Associates, a different division, if you will, or different group of people will be coming in and talking to the city council about bonding for our next phase of the long-term control plan. So that's kind of a key thing for that particular meeting, but not really anything else of major significance, just a typical meeting. And then we'll soon begin to have our budget meetings next week with the city council to start going through the 2018 budget with them in detail.
Public Works Board approved a request last night to place 6-foot fiberglass bottles around the city next year to honor it being the birthplace of the Coke bottle.
Uh-huh.
I don't think people know the history.
They don't.
In Terre Haute.
They really don't. Even some local people don't. But the Root family, you know, had the bottling company and they were able to be secure that creating that bottle, you know, many, many years ago, and it's kind of been lost in that historical perspective as time has gone behind us. And so the Historical Society here and others really want to bring that back to the forefront because it is, everybody knows what a Coke bottle looks like, and the fact that it was invented right here in Terre Haute is a really neat thing. So we're going to create a new festival, local folks are, that will happen next year. And we'll be able to place these little bottles around town, and I believe there'll be many more to come. I think they'd like to do 25. So we can all, one, remind ourselves, but continue to add to our outdoor art sculptures. But just the fact that we're celebrating that, you know, the Coca-Cola bottle came from Terre Haute, Indiana, and it's spread all across the world over all these years. And, you know, we need to take credit and we need to honor that.
And I also see you had record crowds at the Blues Fest in Terre Haute this past weekend.
It was amazing. You know, I stopped by Friday night for a little bit, but then went Saturday night and took my family, and we spent several hours there. And, you know, it's a great environment, the food and the music and just, yeah, they said about 7,000 people is how many tickets they took at the gate. And so that's a pretty big crowd for kind of a 1.5 block area downtown. People bring their lawn chairs, set it up, and just sit and enjoy the music. The weather was perfect. I think that always has a big effect on the attendance, but another great event in downtown Terre Haute. So we just love to see those things and people coming downtown and having fun.
Any other updates from the mayor's office?
No, I don't think so. You know, we're right in the middle of the budget stuff, so
yeah,
there's a lot of financial things
busy
going
right now.
On, and that's kind of the probably taking about 80% of our time. We're right on schedule with our other projects, and so I just can't believe it's fall already, and you know, and now we'll start talking about leaf pickup and everything else, so get ready for winter. But just really positive things happening, and just, you know, I'm looking forward to the fall season. It's my favorite time of the year, and lots more festivals and different things going on, so really kind of looking forward to enjoying the weather before it turns winter.